Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Football Friday.
If it changes the way you're working, then you aren't working hard enough to begin with.
There's nothing that needs to be said. We just got to go out there and we just got to show them what we made of.
Every single day, we're always ripping it up and down the field, want to go deep every single play.
When we come on this field, it's football time. We want a blue-collar mentality in our program.
It's time!
Now, here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday, Angel, the one and only, putting it together for us, ready to make this football season unlike anything we've ever covered. There's a lot of excitement in the air. Well done, Angel. Very well done, as always. Didn't expect anything less. My expectations for this and for you are through the roof. Wait, that should be the poll question, is when would this be considered a failed season for Angel if he doesn't have perfection every single day? That's when.
Oh, yeah.
So far, so good. So far, so good.
Shout out to Bruce Buffer for the great clips there.
Man, it's exciting. It's a fun time, too. You know, as we get into Football Friday, it will be a lot of game previews and storylines heading into it and things of that nature. But this one's a little bit different because we only have so much real football to talk about. And I'm not a big Wyoming Cowboy guy. But that's the game that has some venom, has some juice to it this weekend. So we'll be getting into that one in the next segment. Talk about the Cowboys' chances. Tell you what, you pull off an upset tomorrow. Look at this. Look at the poll question. The poll question today, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will the Wyoming Cowboys reach a bowl game? It's like almost 90% saying no. 88.24% saying no. There's that little 11% there that's like, yeah, I still believe. You go beat Illinois tomorrow, suddenly that 88.2% suddenly looks very silly because that was a counted loss. Now you just got to win five more. And I do think the Bears might be one of those wins. So then you got to win four more. So that's how it works. But exciting times there, no question about it. We had the Front Range Huddle earlier this week and had a chance to catch up with Carl Durrell for the CU Buffs. Ed McCaffrey was out there. We're no stranger to Ed, but he was out there. It was kind of a cool setting to see and hear from these guys. But there is a lot of optimism surrounding the football world here in the state of Colorado because it's the beginning of the season. I don't know how optimistic the Buffs are. Which fan base do you think is the least optimistic? The Wyoming Cowboys fan base or the CU Buffs fan base?
I'd probably say the Buffs, just because Wyoming played in a bowl game last year.
Yeah, I think they won a bowl game, didn't they?
Yeah, so coming off of that, obviously there's a lot of changes there. But with CU, there really wasn't a lot to like from last season. They didn't really blow you away offensively. Their defense was all right. But now there's just almost more questions going into this year.
And the offense was bad. I mean, it got a little bit better toward the end of the season. Brandon Lewis got a little bit better. But we're waiting on a quarterback decision there, too. And for Wyoming, I mean, according to Cody Tucker, it's the worst-kept secret in quarterback controversy battles that Andrew Peasley will be the starting quarterback tomorrow for Wyoming, and that's what we believe. But, I mean, does that move the needle for you? Not sure that it does. So that's going to be an interesting game. One I'm very curious to see how this one breaks out. But Wyoming has a lot of questions. And the Buffs have a lot of questions, too. They replaced, even though they were bad last year, they're still replacing some good players, some great players. Nate Landman is going to go down as, you know, a great Buff, one of the greatest Buffs. You know, Carson Wells, another one of those guys. Great Buff. So even though it was a rough year, the Buffs have a lot of questions surrounding even just replacing those guys. Not to mention, hopefully, another four or five guys step up that we're not really talking about today. And that's kind of the case for CU and Wyoming. Although Wyoming has a couple of guys. You know, Titus Swen is a stud. You know, he's a junior now, his sophomore year. 800 yards on the ground for him. last year. He's going to give Brad Roberts is probably a run for his money. They're in Air Force. So we'll see, man. I mean, I'm not hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm not optimistic, I suppose, when I look at it. But moving on, we do have preseason football with some venom to it tomorrow for the Broncos, trying to figure out, number one, who is the backup quarterback to Russell Wilson? That's the number one question that we have. Who's the number? That's what we're looking to resolve tomorrow. Now that Brett, does it make it Brett's job to lose now? Is he the starting quarterback as of right now? He's listed as the starter for tomorrow night. Does that make him the starting quarterback? Is it his job to lose, or is tomorrow his audition? If he's average, he might not get it.
I think we'll see. Probably by the first half, he'll probably have an answer depending on how long he is playing. If it's just for a quarter, maybe it's okay, we'll rotate every quarter and we'll see. But it's definitely interesting. If you started Johnson the first two games, now you're starting Rippon, something must have happened in practice, maybe, that Hackett has a little more confidence in him, wants to see him have him start out a game and see how he responds.
Well, in the end of the Bills game, I think we can all agree that it felt like there was a little more spark when Brett Rippon was behind center. Now, again, you have to analyze that how it is. Different combinations, different matchups Brett Rippon's facing compared to Josh Johnson. But Brett Rippon is an interesting story, and a guy I followed closely because he was a Mountain West guy, Boise State guy. He's one I'm rooting for. I thought there was at one point, Angel, where he was better than Josh Allen in college. He was better than Josh Allen. He was all Mountain West. Allen was second team. So I root for this guy. He hasn't come close to living up to the potential that I thought he was coming out. I thought maybe he had a shot to be a starting quarterback someday. But here he's just battling for number two. So that's the big one to watch for. Number one, no question. The other one is Albert O. Albert Ogwebanon, is he going to be the starter for this team at tight end, or is it going to be Greg Dulcich or somebody else? I mean, Salbert is kind of one of those guys we're hearing is more, hey, he can block too. He can get down and dirty. But I don't even know where he is on the depth chart. Right now, if you just look at random depth charts on this team, it's Albert O, it's Greg Dulcich, Andrew Beck's there. So this is this tight end position is not like a gimme for anybody on the roster. So we believe Albert O is going to have significant time tomorrow night, so he could help Brett Rippon out too in this process. I think it's huge for him because I don't know that he's taking the job. If he had the job sewed up, he wouldn't be playing tomorrow because everybody else is getting that night off that's a starter. So I think it's a huge night for him. What I'm excited to see more of, though, is Nick Benito. I don't know that he's looked good. No, I mean, is there anybody that's really stood out in the preseason for the Broncos? Anybody stood out where you just go, that guy's got it. You know, that guy's going to be really good for this team. I mean, there's been some plays. I thought Malik Reed looked pretty good. That first game, he was my Zvi Brewing Player of the Week. Kind of expected him to do that, though. Wide receivers, I mean, Brandon Johnson looked pretty good in that first game. But outside of that, I don't know that I've walked away going, who sticks out in your mind? Where you just walk away going, that guy's going to get some meaningful reps. So Nick Benito, I want to be that guy. And again, you took him in the second round. You got him because you want to put pressure on Bradley Chubb. Well, I'd like to see something from him tomorrow night, too. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I mean, you got Bradley Chubb, Randy Gregory, Malik Reed, Baron Browning. Malik Reed, I think, could turn out to be a pretty good player this year. So there's depth in front of Benito. So he's playing to try to work his way up as a rookie on the depth chart just this season. So Nick Benito, man, I'm excited to see what he has. That's one I've got my eyes out for as well. Calvin Anderson. He's going to be playing. Calvin Anderson, of course, he was the first team right tackle. As camp went on, he kind of, I don't know that he lost it, but he fell out of obvious favor with Nathaniel Hackett. Cam Fleming actually was getting more of the starting practice snaps for the Broncos, so this is going to be big for Calvin Anderson. That one I'm curious to see. And then we might see KJ Hamler for a little bit tomorrow. And is that just a case where you're seeing a guy that's coming off of injury, you just want to see what he does out there with real competition for a few plays, and then comes right off? Maybe. Because you don't want that depth chart to get any more thin as we get closer and closer to that Monday night game against Seattle. So tomorrow you want to be careful. I still, like I started the show today, though, I think ultimately the preseason was kind of a dud. Now tomorrow could kind of salvage a little bit, but wanted to see more of these guys together. I want to see how Russell Wilson plays with KJ Hamler. I want to see how he does with Jerry Jeudy. I want to see how he does with this offensive line. We're not going to see it, though. So now we're just going to have to pick spots and see, you know, who can step up and get on this roster. We know KJ's on the roster. For him, again, it's just about getting out there. But how about Kendall Hinton, Brandon Johnson, Jalen Virgil? Jalen Virgil's had some moments, too. It's another one, I guess. He's had some moments. Seth Williams, they're all competing for spots on this team. Are the Broncos going to keep five? What does that look like? That's Courtland Sutton. That's Jerry Jeudy. That's KJ Hamler. And if they keep five, you got two more spots there, if I'm doing my math correctly. Is that Kendall Hinton and Brandon Johnson? And then where does Jalen Virgil fall? Where does, you know, Seth Williams fall? It's going to be a tight race, man. Tyree Cleveland is injured right now, but they kind of want to keep him, put him on injured reserve. They'll see. They might carry six. They might carry six wide receivers. Might be smart to do so. But tomorrow's going to be a big night for receivers. So be paying attention to the guys on the field when it comes down to wide receiver play. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I'm very curious to see if the run game looks somewhat improved. You know, who's going to get the bulk of the carries tomorrow? Are we going to see Mike Boone a little bit more? Jaquan Hardy? The guy, his name's been popping up a little bit more. They've been atrocious in the run game. I just want to see some fight from this. Again, we're not looking at wins, losses. Never do. But you don't want to see another blowout. So let me ask you this. We hear Nathaniel Hackett coming out saying all these things like, hey, we got to be better than this. We're embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. If we don't see a better performance tomorrow and they get blown out by Minnesota at home, preseason game, are you really slamming down the panic button? I think we might be. I think we might very well be doing that. And that's a scary, scary thing going into getting closer and closer to that Monday Night Football game. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. 18 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. When we come back, what do the Wyoming Cowboys have to do to pull off a pretty significant upset for them in a Mountain West non-conference game? This is also big for the Mountain West Conference. You should be rooting for, if you're a CSU fan, you're rooting for all of these Mountain West teams to do something pretty cool, to do something pretty significant this weekend. So we'll talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Football Friday on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-two minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, will the Wyoming Cowboys make a bowl game this season? Noob says they might make the Tecmo Bowl game. That's it. Go Rams. Good job, Noob. Nice work there. Wyoming, Illinois coming up this weekend. That's going to be, a 1 o'clock game?
That is going to be 2 o'clock on the Big Ten Network.
Okay. All right. So what is it? Is it a 9.5-point spread? Last I checked, I think Illinois is favored by close to the double-digit mark. I don't know that they got there yet.
Looking at it right now, ESPN has the spread at minus 14.
Ooh,
over
okay.
Under 43.
40, okay, so it was 44. We've lost a point. That's high. Is that a lot? I mean, Wyoming might be able to keep this thing close. Might be tempted to take some points there.
I think they could cover that.
Yeah, I think
ESPN's giving them a 24.9% chance to win.
I think it's going to be a sloppy type game. Maybe not sloppy, but just, again, you have
rusty.
Rusty. And Illinois, like, they just now named their quarterback. They won they won 4 games last year trying to get this thing right. They're set to kick this thing off, hopefully the right way for them. This coaching staff hasn't been there very long either. I think this is the second year for head coach Brett Bielema. He's like his, how do you say his last name?
Bielema.
Is this second year? Third year.
His second year. His debut was last year. Illinois went 5-7.
Okay, so they won 5 games. So maybe with a new, you kind of settle down a little bit. You're getting into this thing, and you enter this second season with this group. Maybe they settle down, and they get close to a bowl game. It's kind of one of those games that's pretty significant. If bowl game is your goal, you just need 6 wins. Every single game is absolutely critical. And so it's a huge opportunity for them to get number one. They did name their starting quarterback just a couple of days ago. We thought that was going to be played pretty close to the chest, but they did name Tommy DeVito. I don't believe he's related to Danny. He'll be this team's starting quarterback on Saturday. What do we know about this team overall? They've mismatched and mixed and matched and done a bunch of different things on the offensive side. They had a tight end that they just apparently wasn't good enough to be a tight end, so they just turned him into an offensive lineman. And he's going to start at center for this team. So it goes from being a tight end last year, he's going to start at center for this team. So interesting there. Now, I don't know what to expect. Don't know a lot about this team. But you have some key players, your key coordinator. Their defensive coordinator, Ryan Walters, is coming back for his second year. So, again, it's the same. The staff is all returning for their second stint. Maybe they become a little bit better this season. It's a good opportunity for them to go up against Wyoming because Wyoming, again, has a lot of unknowns. And as Cody Tucker told us earlier in the week, some key injuries have really plagued Wyoming to start the season. But a bunch of new guys on that offensive line for Wyoming. But they do have a stud running back in Titus Wynn. That's the thing. Like, when you talk about excitement factor, what are you looking forward to? What can you build around as far as hype? Wyoming's got a running back. That's who they have to really build around. Quarterback position is up in the air at this point. But I believe we kind of know that it's going to be Andrew Peasley. That's what we gather from all of this. But and again, at the end of the day, is it a good thing or a bad thing when you're having to hold that announcement to who your quarterback's going to be until almost kickoff? Is that a good thing?
It's not a great thing, and I don't think it's an awful thing. If you have 2 quarterbacks and they've been competing up until this point, it may just be a game-time decision. Whoever wakes up feeling better tomorrow gets the start.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like with CU, maybe you can take it as a good thing that they're battling it out and nobody's running away. Again, it depends on how you want to look at it, because you could take it as nobody's running away with it, so we're just going to go with the guy who doesn't suck. You know, that's kind of the way you look at it. So I'm not, like I said, tomorrow looking at this game, it's not like I look at, like, 13.5, is that what it is?
That's 14.
14.5? I might be interested in taking some points there for Wyoming. I might be interested in taking that spread. I don't think Wyoming wins this game. There's just not enough, and I do try to read between the lines when our insiders are on the show and what they can tell us. Now, Cody's a guy from 7220sports.com. They don't get to see practice like we, like, you know, Kevin gets to see or I get to see at CSU. I haven't been out there as much as I'd like to, but Kevin gets to see quite a bit. Wyoming doesn't get to see anything. So it's pretty much you're relying on Craig Bohl to kind of tell you and help you navigate through what this situation looks like. And Bohl on Monday basically said, hey, we're a young team. We're going to see what happens. But this is a team that usually kind of flies under the radar, even in the Josh Allen days before he became Josh Allen. Nobody really expected them to do much. And then they kind of surprise people. But Craig Bohl, man, he lost so many players through the transfer portal. I mean, it was a rough go for him. And you lost your quarterback. You know, so many good defensive players left you. You have some studs, but they were absolutely destroyed from the transfer portal. Unlike their counterpart in Colorado State. So, I mean, again, Cowboys fans, how you feeling about this guy going forward? About Peasley, if he's the guy, seems like he's had the edge. And as Cody says, it's the worst kept secret in the area who the starting quarterback's going to be. But maybe this is a little bit of showmanship from Wyoming, trying to keep things close to the chest. It's what teams do. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Fun matchup? Are we excited about the matchup, or does it matter? We're just like, hey, football's back. Throw anybody out there. We'll be all in. It's going to be great.
Mostly that, but I am interested to see how this Cowboys team comes out and plays.
I
just
am too.
With the transfers, with the injuries, where's the morale of this team at? Where's the confidence at?
Yeah, and Craig Bohl, I mean, he's been through a lot of changes this year, dealing with a lot of, you know, all coaches are, but Craig Bohl's an older guy. So the transfer portal stuff, the NIL stuff, this is all very interesting times, especially for him. You know, Jay Norvell, Matt Mumme, you look at those guys, and it's, they get the Twitter stuff. They get the going, and I don't know, Craig Bohl might tweet. I don't follow him on Twitter. But he might get out and about, too, and engage with the fans, but Jay Norvell just seems like this young, exciting guy, along with Matt Mumme, and he's kind of rolling with the changes. He certainly benefited from the transfer portal. He said, Chris, hey, Brady, you've been talking Air Norvell. What's the first play from scrimmage, a run or a pass? Against Michigan? Wouldn't that be funny if it's like three runs in a row?
RPO. Just let Clay decide.
Clay, take off, buddy.
Well, you said they don't have a playbook, so
they have plays. Do they have an actual playbook?
Do they hold up cards?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Well, they seem like the kind of guys that would hold up cards. Okay. You're used to that kind of stuff. Or does Saban have a cards? Do they do the cards
thing? He's done that recently in the past couple years.
It might be that. I mean, they just are, if it's not like this dedicated playbook, because I think we did. It was Matt Mumme on with us or Jay Norvell, one of the two, that was like, yeah, it's not like this full book of plays. We know formations and we know what guys are going to be running out of that, but it's not like going home and studying these long, novel-like playbooks, which is interesting.
Yeah, and you see a lot of college coaches and NFL coaches, too. They'll script their opening drive usually. The first 6 to 8 plays are usually stuff they work on in practice leading up to the game so that when they do take that first snap, they kind of know what they're doing already.
Yeah. So what is that like then? Yeah, they just kind of know, okay, I know this is my formation, and I know these are the routes, these are the hot routes that we're going to run within this formation. That's got to be on paper somewhere, right, to study and to know that stuff? Or
hopefully, or they're just, you know, muscle memory running through it in practice, and then when you get on the field, you just read the defense and go.
They throw a lot, man. What was the clip you showed at the beginning, or we had it running at some point in the show with Jay Norvell saying the only way you get good at throwing the ball like this, like what we're wanting to do, is practicing it. And that's what they do all the time. So look at that. We're so excited about Wyoming. Eastside Chris got it changed to talking about CSU, and they don't even play till next week against Michigan. It's that exciting of a situation, though. They have the buzz. Like, Air Force is supposed to be good. Why isn't there a buzz like there is, like what we're talking about with CSU. I'll tell you why. Air Force does the exact same thing every year. It's the exact same. Triple option, run the hell out of the ball, throw it a couple times a game, play tough defense. Our offensive line's just going to be quicker than yours. And if they find the right combo of players to fill that, then boom, you've got this magic formula that's going to work. But that's why we're not like, well, it's exciting. It's exciting that they're being touted as being as good as they're going to potentially be this year. But as far as the buzz factor, CSU, there's no question about it. You come in, Brandon, stuff like Fort Air. What's more exciting? Watching Air Force's triple option and run, pass, or Fort Air Raid, pass again. Yeah.
Run.
Maybe a run. Screen. But it's maybe a screen.
Bubble screen.
It's a bubble screen. It's a fake run. Play action's not going to be a big thing, I don't believe, for CSU. I just don't see it happening. Nobody's going to fall for that. But what's more exciting? Like, I personally enjoy watching Air Force. I really do. It's a fun style of football for me because I like watching good running games. Now, again, if we're watching just what Steve Adazio put out on the field last year, that's not fun for even a running fan. You're just running just to use up a play. Air Force, they run like it's on purpose. Every single play they call has a very complex scheme to it.
I think triple option is fun to watch when it's not your team that they're playing because you're just like, how can we not stop a run? That's all they're doing. From a casual perspective, yeah, you want to see the ball being thrown all over the field, up and down. Obviously, you want to see Clay Millen throw the ball, so I'm going to lead towards the air raid.
Yeah, me too, because I'm, like I said, Air Force is fun for me to watch personally, but now that we've advertised this as Fort Air Raid and we're pumped about it, yeah, give me all Fort Air Raid. Give me Clay Millen throwing the ball. And how many times a game do you think he's going to throw it?
Like, NFL, 35 to 40, probably.
How many times are they going to run it? Twice?
Less than 15 carries.
Yeah, probably. It's going to be like the opposite of Air Force. Although, that I don't even know that. Like, how many times does Air Force throw a game? How many times is Hazeek Daniels going to throw the ball per game?
Less than 20 times.
It's like Tebow, kind of. And I'm not saying Hazeek Daniels is like Tebow, but that's, you're not throwing it like more than a few times a game. Like, seriously, a couple of times. For CSU, are they going to run only like three or four? Now, you're probably right. You're probably going to get one running back that gets eight carries, and then another one gets like three, and maybe one other guy gets like one or two.
Quarterback sneaks?
I don't know.
Can Clay run?
I don't think he's a big runner. I don't know. Could he be a runner? His dad was a backup to Elway. So does that make him, did he have to be a runner? He was a backup for a little bit anyway. I would imagine Clay's more of a pocket passer. For Air Raid, I don't believe it would call for a guy one read and go or two reads and I'm looking to run. I believe it's going to be pocket passing and I'm going through all my progressions. Or as your guy likes to fake his progressions, right?
Apparently that's possible.
I love that. That's a weird take, man.
Tua's
faking his progression reads. He's looking at him, but that's a fake look, not a real look.
It's not a fake, as opposed to a real fake where you're trying to move a safety.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's a fun discussion to have. I'm ready to see it play out when we get to the season. Mysterio, on the football field, what position is your most athletic player? I mean, personally, I go corner.
I lean defensive back, probably safety.
Yeah.
Maybe wide receiver.
I just think a corner.
Corner is so technical, and you got to have very good skills. Being able to read someone else's body language while going backwards and moving your hips, like, it's a lot.
Elite quickness, man. I think a cornerback, and again, this depends on the team you're talking about sometimes, too. Like, Tyreek Hill. For the Dolphins, he might be the best athlete on that field for Miami, but that's not always the case. I always thought, like, Champ Bailey in his prime, ridiculous athlete. Just crazy good. Like, Richard Sherman was more of a smart corner. Was he the most athletic corner in the history of the world? Probably not. Deion Sanders, though, best athlete on the field every time he stepped on the field in his prime. Not in his Baltimore days. Wouldn't go there. 38 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Football Friday. Let's talk a little Friday night football. How big is this for the one and only Drew Locke? We'll be watching it. You're going to be locked in. You're going to mute the game, though, and listen to our guy, Clark Johnson, call Windsor and Mead tonight. I'll be recording with Tanner Schwint. We'll be hitting up Football Friday for you tonight. Angel's going to be running you're going to be running scoreboard updates and everything tonight.
Yeah, I got my Max Preps account created, followed all of our 15-plus teams that we have.
Oh, man. I was thinking, I'm like, oh, it's not going to be that crazy of a night because it's, you know, it is what it is. And Clark's like, no, there's going to be tons
of games.
There's
only 25-plus games being played.
It'll be fun, though, man. I always loved that portion. We provide that, though. Not just the game. The game in and of itself is amazing, but we are providing updates and post-game and all that stuff, especially when Kyle gets back, too. He's much better than Tanner and I when it comes to previewing football night. So he'll be back next week. It's so much fun. So, like, once 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock hits, this station just becomes this hub for all things football. 39 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Forty-two minutes after the hour, welcome back into the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. We've got a lot of football going on this weekend, some meaningful, some not so meaningful, but still, decisions. We have to have some decisions coming our way between the Broncos. We're going to find out what Wyoming's decision is at quarterback, and can they pull off a crazy upset win tomorrow? I'll give you my final thoughts on that, my prediction, as well as the over-under on that. We'll go two picks on that game, since I have nothing else to pick. Friday night, though. It's Friday night football. We got Windsor at Mead going at it tonight, following up a crazy game last night on Preps Radio.
Absolutely incredible. Clark Johnson just did a great job as a back-and-forth game. Oh, my goodness. Did it all by himself, too, so shout-out to him for that. In the middle of the crowd in the stands calling the game.
Yeah,
he's yelling at people to get out of his way so we can see the calls.
As beautiful as that setup is in Timnath, because I'm a Timnathian, I think that's what we call ourselves. I guess the press box is not big enough for radio guy. Don't they know, bro? Clark Johnson needs some space in there. I used to do games with Clark. We were in the stands a lot. He's not in the stands anymore. They roll out the red carpet for CJ, man. There's no question. When he's out doing games, they're like, where do we put Clark Johnson? The coaching staff will figure out later. Where's Clark going to go?
It's first pick of the seats.
He gets anywhere he wants. He could go do it in the middle of the 50-yard line if he wanted to.
That'd be a fun call.
Dude, that's the next phase in football. They're going to put a broadcast booth in the middle of the field and put a little dome over it, and they'll turn and their seats around. Oh, it'd be great. Come to the show for more ideas. Great call. Clark's been doing this for such a long time. I hate to age him on this, but I'm just saying he has been the best when it comes to all things football coverage. I've never heard anything like it. I grew up, you know, it was a big thing to get your game on the radio, get your name on the radio. And these guys were like, yeah, old Ted's boy out there's got a touchdown. I mean, that's what it was. Then you hear Clark and it's like, am I listening to Alabama, Michigan right now? What am I listening to? Seriously. The Johnson man, he's damn good at what he does.
Oh yeah, so descriptive. He gives so much energy and you can tell that he enjoys what he's doing, and it makes you as the listener enjoy just sitting. Like, I just sat at home yesterday, listened to the entire game.
Oh man.
So good.
I just remember when I first started at KFKA, I just loved the Friday night atmosphere. And then we just kept building on it. So we've got this great broadcast planned for you tonight leading up to this game. That's what I'm saying. Mute your NFL. It's on NFL Network tonight. Mute that and then listen to Clark broadcast a high school football game. But the game that you'll be muting but watching is Seattle and Dallas. And there's just so much meaning to it.
Quarterback showdown we've all been waiting for.
If Geno Smith is average and Drew Locke is slightly above average, who gets the job? slightly above. Like, you're maybe.
I mean, if Drew makes one highlight play, you're going to have to do it because the fans are going to be clamoring for it.
I see, and if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm not even messing around. Like, fine, Gino, you want to start tonight? Great. I'm going with Drew Lock. I just think the upside potential is there as opposed to everything Geno Smith provides. Again, Geno Smith and Teddy Bridgewater, I'll give you Teddy Bridgewater, better career. He had a better, you know, before he got hurt in Minnesota, certainly better. But they feel like the same guy, these roaming guys anymore, the Fitzpatricks of the world, the guys that just kind of roam around, might get a start or two, but they're backups. Drew's not in that category yet. And until he is, somebody's got to give him a real chance. And I think that should be Seattle. I think that should be Pete Carroll. Turn this guy around.
Sure. I mean, you know what you're going to get with Geno Smith. You know what his ceiling is with Drew Lock. Yeah, there's question marks, but a lot of those questions are, could this guy really be a solid starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah. All right. This is a programming question for you. I just got a text back from Hugh, Clay Millen's dad. Said he could be on, but do we have time?
About 5 minutes.
That's risking it.
Got a break like right now.
Okay, let's take a break. 47 minutes after the hour. Let's see if we can get him on. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Football Friday, maybe. Hugh Millen coming up next. We'll be right back.
Get the latest news on the Rockies with Rockies Rundown hosted by Jerry Schemmel and Tanner Schwint. Thursdays at 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
All right, welcome back in. This is a great treat. And we're gonna try to do this interview again where we have more time. But we have Hugh Millen on the program. Of course, Hugh had a nice career in the NFL, a fantastic career with Washington. Clay Millen's dad. We just talked to Clay on Monday for the Clay Millen Show. Sir, Hugh, thank you so much for being on with us, man. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, Brady, great to be with you. Hey, love the show with Clay, and hopefully he's just getting started here, but I thought it was okay for the first go-around, right, for a 19-year-old.
Well, and you're going to be listening to this with more of a critical ear, too, because of your radio work with KJR. So I love it, man. The connection is fantastic.
Well, I told him, look, you got three rules. Number one, first and foremost, don't say cliches. God help us if you say cliches. No cliches. Okay. Rule number two, you can smile, you can laugh. I remember when I was playing for the Huskies, I remember thinking, well, if you laugh and smile in an interview, then the coaches are going to think you're not taking things serious. Everybody knows you take the game serious. It's okay to have fun. It's not North Korea nuclear politics. We can have fun with football. And rule number three is like, try and find stories. When a guy brings up a topic, you know, just say, because here's the thing, Brady, and you know this. As a player, there's a lot of things you can't say. Like, you can't say, well, we think our opponent sucks this week. Or you know, I think that, you know, the left guard, you know, stinks. Like, there's a lot of things you can't say. But one of the things you can do is you say, okay, if I can tell a story, it kind of brings a listener in, right? So we'll see if he can at all adhere to any of those rules.
I'm writing them down for me, to be honest with you personally. I'm putting
Isn't
those
that right?
down.
No, when you do an interview, aren't cliches the bane of our existence?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, when you do all this research to ask a deep question, and then you just get kind of, you know, one step at a time kind of deal. It's like, all right, well, on to the next one.
Well, here's what you do, Brady. Have a little bell, you know, like the bell at a hotel counter.
Yeah.
Have a little bell, and every time Clay tells a cliche, ring a bell. Say, you know, like we can teach him like Pavlov's dogs. No cliche. It's a no cliche zone, and you can tell him I told him.
Hugh, we've got like 2 minutes left, but I want to get you on the Clay Millen Show because I want him to interview you. Wouldn't that be fun? I think it'd be
great.
Well,
the problem is he knows too much dirt on me.
Yeah, that might make it even better.
That might be good for you. I'm not sure if that's good for me.
All right, I got to break into this. And again, your son is awesome. We are so hopeful for this kid and what this Rams team is going to be all about. So I know we'll be talking about that more. But in about a minute here, I got to get your thought because I know you talk a lot of Drew Lock and a lot of Seattle Seahawks. I'm just dying to know, what do you think? Is Drew Lock going to overtake this starting quarterback position?
I don't think for the opener. I think Geno Smith, you know, they said it was going to be a open competition. We do a show. I do a show with Mike Holmgren every week. Mm. Holmgren came on, and now he's arguably the most accomplished quarterback coach in the history of football when you consider his four principal players and what they did. He said if it was me, I would be giving Drew Lock 70 to 80% of the reps because he's 25. Yes, he failed with the Broncos, but, you know, Ryan Tannehill failed with the Dolphins. Like it can happen. Geno is 32. He's failed with four teams. So just if you just think about the probabilities, there's more there to work with. But they said it was going to be an open competition, and yet, well, you probably heard Drew Lock. He got the COVID. But even if you followed the Pete Carroll plan, Geno Smith was going to be the number one quarterback for 25 practices, Drew Lock for two. It was never a competition in a lot of people's eyes, including mine and Mike Holmgren.
Oh, wow. And I'm with you, too. Like, when you look at the ceiling, and I don't know if Drew Lock's going to make it or not, but you look at the ceiling, the potential is still there for Drew, not so much there for Geno. Hugh, my friend, this was an honor, our five-minute chat. Can we do this? Can we do this next week as we're setting the table for Seattle Broncos? I would love to have you on.
Yeah, rock and roll. I was traveling up here to Salt Lake City to see my oldest son, and so I just saw the text, so sorry I was late getting back to you. But yeah, you set it up a little bit in advance, you slacker. You don't really sound like you want me when you text me like 3.5 minutes before you want me on the damn show.
I'm gonna blame that on my producer. Angel, way to go, man. He stole my cell phone. That was on him. Hugh, it's an honor. Let's catch up again. Love your kiddo. I love what you guys are doing, so I cannot wait for that season, and we'll talk more down the road.
Rock and roll. Thanks for having me.
All right, there, Hugh Millen. Probably shortest, best interview I've ever done in the history of my life. We got to get to picks here. The Cowboys are 14.5-point dogs, Angel, to Illinois. I'm taking the points. Do I take the over or under? Is it 43?
43 is the over-under.
Going under. Going under.
Taking advice from Tanner here on the over.
I'm staying under, but I like the Cowboys to cover. That's going to do it for us. Football night in Northern Colorado is coming up at 6. There we go. We'll be back at it on a Monday. Good night, Northern Colorado.